Father, in Jesus' name we come, and Lord, thanking you. Lord, thanking you for what you will do. Lord, you're a faithful God, always faithful, always true. Lord, you've called us here. We have this appointment. Lord, thank you for everyone, every life that you've drawn here. And Lord, our expectation is completely in you. And you've told us and promised, if you be for us, who could be against us? You promised that you'll perform the good work which I've begun in you. Thank you, Lord, for this truth. And thank you for the whole counsel of God. And Lord, we thank you for these young people. And Lord, just come in, Lord. The anointing is here. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because we've gathered in your name. The anointing is here. Lord, pour forth your spirit upon this camp. God, allow us, Lord, to yield. Allow us, Lord God, to focus. And Jesus, be encouraged, Lord, that this is such a special time, an appointed time, and Lord, a growing time. Thank you. Have your way. Lord, we look to you. We ask you to touch our precious brother Bob in a mighty way. In Jesus' wondrous name, that healer, the balm of Gilead, Lord, we know if there's anything that has been done in that body, Lord, you touch it and make him whole. We believe you, Lord. We're agreed in your name. You said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. And Lord God, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And we believe you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And we thank the Lord for this time. Who here has heard about the Holy Ghost, huh? You think? How about you young people? You heard about the Holy Ghost? Amen. Now don't everybody come forward at one time. But you know what I'm saying, praise God. If you come to camp, you hear a lot about the need of the Holy Ghost and about the need of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I'm praying that by God's wondrous grace that he captures your heart tonight through this whole time that we have here together. But there's a reason that this Holy Ghost is emphasized when we come together, because I'm going to tell you something. Without the infilling of the Holy Ghost in your life, you'll never come to the fullness of what God has for you in your life. I pray you're really going to hear this. I think about this as, here we are as Christians. We're the children of God, sons and daughters of God. That's the truth. And I thank the Lord how good God has been to each and every one of us. Amen. Think about the privilege just to be able to come to a camp. And I'll just tell you, the privilege of the life that you all live. You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we talk, and there's been a lot of naysaying about things. Let me tell you something. God's been good to you. Been very good to you. You could have been born in a lot of different places. You could have had a lot of different things. And here we are in a place where we're clothed and we're fed. We have this time together, but most importantly, the Lord has encouraged you to hear his word and to know his word. And he cares for you like that. It's been a divine appointment long time ago. The word of God says, even before the foundation of the earth, all of these steps in your life, they've been appointed of God. He knows you. Believe every life. I know most of the young people here, pretty much every one of you actually. And I know every one of you are children of the King. You're God's child, sons and daughters of God. And here I am once again to tell you, with as good as God has been to you, without the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you'll never fully receive what he has for you, what he died for you to have, what he lived for you to have. And see, brothers and sisters, I will tell you this. The moment that you asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you became his. You're not your own anymore. It says that you're bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It's dark up here, so pastor's got to get his eyes on. It says, but as many as received him. Did you receive Jesus as your Savior? How many young people here have received Jesus as their Savior? How come I'm not seeing everybody's hand? I know you're saved. Got to get here tonight, young people, okay? You've received Christ Jesus as Savior. It says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you realize that you're a son of God? Do you really realize that you're a son of God, a daughter of the Lord? I understand that we can see it in that regard as well, too. But it says that he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. See, once you believed in Christ Jesus, you're not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. And think about what man is trying to do to you all right now. He's trying to emphasize who you're not. What does it say at the very end? You're born of God. We're born of God. If you've accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, you are now born of God. Your life, the moment that you received him, it says that you have been crucified with Christ Jesus. You've died. And yet now you've been raised with him. Nevertheless, you live, but it's not you that live anymore. It's Christ that lives in you. Okay? And the Word of God tells us that we're one in him, that there's no difference, praise the Lord, of that life that lives in each and every one of us. It's so beautiful, we all look different. But the life of Jesus Christ is still the very same, and the love of the Father is just the same to us as he is his only begotten Son, Jesus. And just to think about how the Lord loves us like that is such a mighty thing, honeys. I pray it just grips your heart in a way that, Lord, I can't even imagine that you love me like that. And let me tell you, when God gives you power, as it says here, because he gives you the life of his Son, he's invested in you completely. You are everything to God. Everything. Everything. His whole day, his whole night is spent thinking about you. It says that his thoughts towards you are more than the sands of the sea. How many people have stood on an ocean sand or a beach? Have you stood on them? Have you ever grabbed sand and put it in your hand and let it run through your hands and all that? How many sand particles do you think were in your hand that you grabbed up? Millions, probably. Millions, amen? That's right. And yet it says all of the sands of all the seas, all of the oceans, could not contain what God is thinking about you. Just to fathom that he loves us like that. That he wants to have that relationship with us like that. It's not to make you feel guilty. He just wants you to know how much he adores you and he loves you and he's after you. And he wants more than anything for you just to understand how much he loves you. Now, because he's God and because he loves you with everything he has, he wants you to become everything that he's enabled you to be. In the Word of God, it says every child of God that is born of God is Lord of all. Now that's God saying that. That's God saying that. Now we have some people that are very famous in this world. I'm sure you've heard people like Bill Gates. Maybe? Huh? I guess he's kind of old. Yeah. Well, let's see. I don't know, who's younger and wealthy? Elon Musk. Ooh, look at that. And that's a happening guy. Really smart. But you know, as much money and as much smarts as he has, and I'll say it like that because I don't have a lot. But the one thing that the Word of God tells me, that the riches of this life and this world, they're but dust. They're nothing. And they end. And it's gone. And it says that even the wisdom of men is foolishness to God. And let me tell you something. I am fascinated picking up my phone to think what it can do. It's incredible. But that even is foolishness to God. That wonderful God that loves you more than anything, that adores you more than anything, that has something for you that is beyond what any person could ever comprehend. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Maybe not ask you, I'm going to tell you this. I know most all of you. And I know that, let's see, what year do we get to start in being a camper? 11, 12, which one? Who's the youngest? 11? Somebody 10? 10. Okay, 9? Wow, you snuck in there, buddy. That's a way. All right. Now, Mr. 9, and you answer truthfully, and I know you will. You've been in Sunday school class for 9 years, pretty much. Yes, you have. And you know in those Sunday school classes that you go to all the time, Jesus doesn't want you to stay a baby, does he? He wants you to grow up. And matter of fact, I know you're 9 years old, but there's something about Jesus. He can get through to us in a big way. And you know that he wants to marry you. Yeah, you do. And I didn't have to pick him out of the crowd before we started. And all you young men know that. And I know you ladies know that. Amen? Did I get a nod? Yeah. It's okay. I'm the only one watching you. They can't see you. But it's the truth, isn't it? You know this message. Got through to you. Because God divinely brought you to a Sunday school. That you hear this message. That it's for you. And that's how exact and precise the Lord is. So when you think about all of those thoughts of the sand towards you, think of the intensity of those thoughts for you to rule and to reign jointly with Christ Jesus. And I know that's not foreign, what I'm saying. I know you know and have heard, right, Marcus? Jesus wants you to rule and reign with him, doesn't he? He doesn't want you to be a palm waver. He wants you sitting in the midst of that throne with him. So it's a wonderful thing that we understand that and that God has given us this knowledge of it. But I want you to know this. Knowing something and having it are two different things, right? I can know about a Lamborghini, but I don't have a Lamborghini. So I don't have it. You understand? I could think about it. I could study all of it, but I got to drive it. You get it? Now, the Lord wants you to have his best. And that Lamborghini or whatever it might be can't even ever be compared with what God has for us. All right? And then you start thinking about ruling and reigning with him. We talked about people that are wealthy. I'm sure that you know that we have in this world, we have kings and queens, all right? And they have thrones, and there's the Queen of England, and all of these different things. And you'd think, well, that's pretty special. And it kind of is. And you'd think that, wow, that's an amazing thing to be that. A lot of power. But you're talking about God who intends for you, if you'll just understand what he has, for you to rule and reign with him forever. Now, this just isn't thoughts. This isn't something that I'm saying. I don't have time to go through the Word of God to tell you all about that. But the neat thing is, in those Sunday school classes that you go to all the time, your teachers continue to teach you this, which is the Word of God. So I know, once again, this isn't foreign to you. But there's one thing that is required for you to go into that, not just understanding it, but really having it, and that's the Holy Ghost. The infilling of the Holy Ghost, honeys, is just, it's essential, it's critical, and by the grace of God, it really is. It's a must-have. And I thank the Lord for that. I'm thankful that we're bold in stating that. I love you enough as your brother in the Lord and as your pastor to tell you the truth. I don't want you just to bump along. I don't want you to just to bump along as a Christian. You need to have this power. See, Jesus Christ, not only did he die for you, it said that, you know, he ascended into heaven. You know that? He left. And what happened was, is these his disciples, they were very upset because they'd been with him for 3.5 years. And they saw Jesus die. They saw him crucified. And then they saw him risen. He had risen from the dead. And he came back and he visited them. In the Word of God, it said that he appeared to them, okay? And they thought, wow, this is great. Jesus is risen. It's over. and everything's good. And Jesus said, no, we've just begun. And there was a divine purpose of why Jesus told them, I must go. I must go to the right hand of my Father. I must ascend into heaven. And the reason was, he said, because I need to send you the Holy Ghost. He'd been with them, but he shall be in them. Okay? That's what he said. And he said that the reason that he sent them the Holy Ghost is he said, I have many things to tell you. Many things to tell you. But you can't understand them yet. But when I send the Holy Ghost to you, oh my, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. All truth. All that truth that you hear. It's not just something you know. It's something, praise God, that you have. And how marvelous that God brings that, and that's what he brings to us. Now, what happens with that Holy Ghost is it becomes your reality. All right? What happens is you know you were born for it, and even, I'll tell you this, it was to be yours. You go from a life that just kind of goes along as a Christian, that a life that can be alive, alive, joyful, waiting, anticipating, all these things that the Lord has for you. And that's exactly what only the Holy Ghost can do. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And I pray you have your Bibles, and if your friend doesn't, just scooch on over and let him read it with you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, what? May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I guess I'd ask you this. How deeply do you want to know Jesus? Someone who loves you like that? Yeah, I want to know all of him. I want to know everything about Jesus and the knowledge of him and his desires. And the reason I want to know Jesus' desires is because those desires are me. They're me. See, Jesus right now is sitting at the right hand of the Father. So think of this. Here is God the Father on the throne. All right? And Jesus is here at his right hand. All right? Now, Jesus is going to take the throne as God. And God the Father is going to step aside and give him that throne. All right? But there's something that Jesus requires before he takes his throne. And we even have that practice now, even in our world society of royalty. Do you know a king does not take the throne without a queen? And that's the truth. So Jesus is sitting right on that right hand, and he will not be given nor take this throne as God until he has his wife. When do we want to enter in and say, you know what? That really is true. It's real. It tells us that he awaits his bride before he will take that throne. And the neat thing about the Word of God, Jesus knows everything except one thing. Does any of the young people know the one thing that Jesus does not know? He does not know the time that the Father will turn to him. See, they're sitting on that throne again. They're very happy tonight, by the way. They're very, very happy, like you can't imagine happy. And the Father's sitting right there. And someday, soon, might even be tonight, he's going to turn to his son and he's going to say, son, go get your wife. Now, the Bible tells us that that wife is going to be that one that's awake and waiting for the return of her bridegroom. Okay? She knows that he's coming. He's coming for her. Now, how did she know that? It's because she listened to him She heard his words. She heard like what Jesus said to his disciples. I have many things to say to you, but you can't understand them. But I'll tell you that one that's going to tell you all about me, the Holy Ghost, when he's come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into all of me. See, the Holy Ghost takes you and he sinks you right, amazingly, into the depth of the heart of knowledge of Jesus for you. The depth. My wife, Polly, she told you that we met at a church camp. 13 and I was 15. All right. I liked what I saw. I said, okay. But you know what? I wasn't going to marry her. I'm sure she wanted to marry me when she saw me. Actually, very opposite of that. It takes time to understand how much you like me. But. But I'll tell you, the more I got to know her, I wanted to marry her. And then the more I got to know her, I had to. It was like it was meant to be. That's how Jesus thinks of you. It's meant to be. Remember, he's God and he divinely does. He knows us. He knows us. And he knew us before he ever set a star in heaven. He knew your heart. He knew we would be talking about his bridal love tonight. He's got your attention. It makes me glad. Now, in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you this spirit of wisdom, give you the Holy Ghost, and revelation in the knowledge of him. And here's why. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of your calling, the hope of his calling. He knows what he wants out of you. He knows what he wants with you. The hope of his calling. And listen to this. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints or in you. Everything of God is invested in you. Everything. His son, everything. All of his inheritance is you. It's right here. This is it. He made the world. He made all the resources in the world, all the gold, all the silver, all the oil, all of that. That's not his riches. It's you. It's you. Because he put his son in you. And you're everything to God. Now, since he's done that, what he wants you to know, and here's how you know it, is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, but as it is written, this is how much he loves you. Can we even recite this together? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So do you see that right there? That just tells you that God has prepared so much for you and he's so amazingly good. He's prepared this wonderful glory for you. But it's never even entered into anybody's heart ever, mind, thoughts, or anything like that. And we would all be satisfied with that, and that would be great to think God loves us like that. But he's got that Holy Spirit thing. Remember, we talked about the Holy Spirit, about that's the, and I loved how Brother Golden used to say, that's the knower. That Holy Ghost is the knower in you. All right? And he wants that knower to be in you. All right? Now, so it didn't end there. It said, but God hath revealed them to us. So even though it has never entered into the hearts or minds, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but yet God reveals them. Do you want to know those things? Do you want to know what the Lord has waiting for you? Do you? I do. He's told me I can have it. And he said, but they've been revealed unto us by who? The Holy Ghost, His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story too. I was filled at church camp when I was 12. 12 years old. Yep. And you know what? It was my first camp that I wasn't going to stay with my mom. See, I love to stay with my mom. And it was awesome to stay with my mother. She had better food than the church camp had. Everything was there. And she was great. And it was just awesome. But at 12 years old, it was time. I was a little nervous, a little anxious. You know, a lot of guys, few showers. I wondered what it was all about. Because I knew what church camp was like with mom, but now I got a cabin. So this was different. But, you know, as different ones said about how long they've been going to church camp, I mean, I was at a church camp in Oklahoma when I didn't even understand because I was probably 1 year old at that time. But cognizantly about church camp, it's probably been about almost 50 years. And in all my 50 years of coming to church camp, you know what it is about? It's about young people being filled. It really is. I can't lie to you. There's a lot of other things, but it's about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's about the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And that was the first time I ever got to stay in a cabin. And so I was nervous, anxious, we were having fun, all of these different things. But then there was that night, and actually it was the first night, and there was that altar call that happened. And I heard people speaking in tongues and worshiping God all my life. Shoot, my mom, that's what I heard at my house all the time. She'd kneel down and pray in the Spirit. She'd be crying, and I'd run over to mother, and I said, "What's wrong, Mom? What's wrong?" She says, "I'm so happy, honey, I have to cry." And that's the truth. But I remember the Lord gripped my heart. I really hadn't ever been down to an altar before. And I came down to that altar that night and I prayed. And, you know, I was shut up in my little cocoon prayer like this, you know. And I could hear people speaking in tongues and different things around me and all. And I have to say I was a little bit frustrated. But then the Lord allowed me to start calling out on His name. And then I felt this wonderful, sweet hand upon my back. And in a moment of time, I was speaking in another language. I had no idea what it was. I couldn't help contain it. I had to let it go. My mouth was being controlled. Everything was just open. In one moment of believing. But you know, if the Lord didn't draw me down to that altar that night, where would I have been? And it was soon after that as well, too, that I began to really hear the Lord speak to me personally. Jesse, I want to marry you. I want to marry you. That He wanted me to be His spouse. That He didn't want me to be a servant. He wanted me to reign with Him. Now, I'm going to close this up. How could I ever adequately express the joy of the meaning the Holy Ghost brought to my life? I couldn't. The power, His love, as it came into my life. There were a lot of things happening. I was only 12. I think you guys probably have more things happening. But there was a lot of attacks, there was a lot of sadness, there's a lot of reasons I didn't know about. You know, what am I all about? That Holy Ghost came into my life and it brought meaning that I really can't even describe. I knew Jesus loved me in a way that I never knew. He gave me a peace and a rest in Him. He gave me confidence, true confidence. Didn't matter what was going on with my family. Didn't matter going on with my friends or friends that didn't like me. Didn't matter what I looked like. I wanted to look different. And I did. But I'll tell you one thing, it didn't matter. Jesus loves me. And Jesus is in love with me. And I'm going to tell you, and you're my brothers and sisters, and I love you so much. I thank God for the boldness that He drew my heart with that night. And I'm going to tell you, it's just like David. All of you know that story of David and Goliath. I know you do. Do you realize how many people were fearful of that giant? Only one life stepped forward. But that one life that stepped forward, it changed everything. It really did. And sometimes I think the Goliath, I'm going to tell you this, the Goliath is, I've never worshiped God before. I've never gone down to an altar before. What are my friends going to think about me? I don't really understand or know it. I'm sure thankful that David didn't hesitate. He didn't hesitate, young people. He went after it. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off anymore. Don't put off thinking, well, I can go worship even tomorrow night. Let this be tonight. Let this be the night. If you haven't received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, pray. Worship. I think I've said enough. I know I have. These guys are nodding their heads. But it is time. It's time to worship. You adults that have come up here, I'm going to tell you, why you're here is to tarry with these young people. I'm glad you're here. But I know there's fire out there. We share it together every Wednesday, Sunday, and Friday. But young people, it's you. And those that are filled, man, there's nothing greater than a fullness. The filling's just the beginning. The fullness is when, oh my gosh, you're delirious. But this is the time. And I encourage you, let's come on up. Let's come on up. Be a David. You don't need to hesitate. You have friends that you've brought up. You bring them on up. Let's just get down to worshiping God. David, Solomon, Moses, Abraham, you know what they all had in common? They all said that they lifted their hands in prayer and they called out to the Lord. Let's come and pray. Come on. Come on. Amen. In Jesus' name. Come on, men. Counselors, get them up. Let's go. It's time to worship the Lord. You can come on up here and we'll pray in Jesus' name. Lord, come in.